know what was being done here. It's changed a lot since those years, and we're very grateful for that. Zhenya and Lena, I'm not going to try to pronounce their last name, although I know it, live in this city, and they are part of Campus Crusade for Christ, otherwise known as CRU, and they go by the name of Dnipro Campus over there. So we were out for a walk one day and stood behind this city, or this sign, and if it looks cold, it was really cold that day. So we'll keep going. Oh, let's see. I've got the clicker, don't I?
Yeah. Well, before we go to the next slide, the two people by the I and the P, they're from Colorado, and they were also with us.
Thank you.
Paul and Cheryl.
When we arrived at Dnipro Airport, number one, we were the only plane on the tarmac, so I mean, it's not a big airport. We were greeted right after the exit area by the CRU team and some student volunteers, and they met us with a loaf of bread and a container of salt. We were to take a piece of bread and dip it in the salt and eat it. And one of the reasons, this apparently is a traditional Russian greeting, and it symbolized prosperity and health, and people would do this all over the Slavic countries. Bread is a sacred thing in this area of the world. You didn't eat if you didn't have bread at your meal. And salt is a symbol of purity and the beginning of friendships, and that was why they would do salt. So it is a special thing for them to do. It's also very traditional at weddings for the parents and newlyweds to welcome their children with the bread and salt after the ceremony. This is like kind of the unity candle in our culture. The husband and wife would break off a piece of bread, dip it in salt, and give it to each other as a lifelong commitment to one another to promise and take care of each other. So that was the warm greeting that we received from our brothers and sisters in Christ there.
And the bread was warm.
Can anybody see what's wrong with this picture? Yeah? No? So it says welcome in Dnipro rather than welcome to Dnipro. So as soon as we saw this, we knew that we'd have our hands full.
This is what Zhenya called us all trying to pile, cram each other into the van along with all of our suitcases. He says, this is fun Ukrainian game.
Probably there were about 11 people in the van.
Yeah, I don't think we could have fit one more. It was, if they wouldn't have had that van, I don't know how we would have been able to do anything. Who almost got hit by a trolley?
Laura. Nikki.
Hannah.
It was Hannah?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Who saved Hannah?
I don't remember.
I thought it was Pastor Paul.
Pastor Paul, yeah. Because these trolleys go and they don't stop for anything, and we're not used to walking on roads with trolleys, and there's a lot to distract you, and yeah, Paul saved Hannah's life. Pulled her out of the way at the last minute.
The photo at the top right is actually our walk to church, so it kind of shows where the church was located and the kind of environment it was in.
There's lots of construction going on, lots of building. They've torn down anything that's communist as far as memorials or statues or anything like that, and they're in a building process. This is why you don't see anyone texting or talking on their phones on the sidewalk in Ukraine. They would die. What went through these pipes, guys? Was it steam? What went through
Those
these pipes?
Insulated. The steam pipes were
insulated. Yeah, talk, Rob.
I don't think these are steam pipes because the steam pipes are insulated, so they run a lot of these pipes along the side of the road. And if they reach a driveway, they don't go under the driveway. They go over it with the pipes, which is, Zhenya kept calling it like one of the ugliest things in the city. But there is no real regard for public safety on sidewalks or roads or any building. I mean, I have a new appreciation for the building codes in this country. It's terrible that the conditions that really the people have to walk around in all day.
I think one of the most common questions I got is, what do you think of our city? And just looking at it, it looks a little bit run down. And so that was a hard question to answer because you didn't want to say, well, it's kind of crummy. But I was like, the people are really nice here. So that was always a difficult question to answer.
In some areas were beautiful, but walking could be hazardous. Some would be beautifully laid block, and others would be broken block or just broken pavement and pipes in the way and rebar sticking out of the road or out of the sidewalk or broken signs. So your prayer for our safety was not taken lightly.
Oops, and backing up the car, too, on the right, you'd see cars not really on the street but parking up on the sidewalk, which was common.
Yeah, okay, so this potty was in the university, which is a private university. We weren't prepared. There's a toilet paper holder there. There is no toilet paper. There's also no soap and no paper towel. And yeah. So guys weren't in that bad of a problem, but we, yeah. And there's nothing to hold on to keep you from, yeah.
I wouldn't say that the guys weren't in a problem, because the first night of class I went in to use the restroom and both of the urinals were out of order. So I had to go in this squatty potty, and then I went to wash my hands, and I was looking around for a paper towel. There was no paper towel, and there was a hand dryer on the wall, which I thought, okay, this is great. The hand dryer didn't work, and then I went into the squatty potty to get the toilet paper, and there was none there. So guys had our issue, too.
Yeah, so, and this is in a university, and this flushes, which is a plus, because in residences, you can't flush toilet paper. And it's very hard for Americans to remember that. And so you have to put the toilet paper, no matter what you've done, into the garbage can. And yeah, things get plugged up.
Thankfully, our hotels had normal bathrooms. So I always avoided this.
If you go to Ukraine, bring your own toilet paper.
Nikki's having a hard time believing we're talking about toilets.
She's sensitive.
Moving on. Food was great.
Okay, what was your favorite, Nikki?
Salo.
Why?
It's hard to explain.
What is salo?
It's pork fat, and in this case, it was mixed with fresh garlic and salt. And I actually ate that whole bowl plus another half of of one.
This is what they would use instead of butter on bread, and it's always black bread. So a lot of pork fat. And it sounds gross, but it's really not that bad. Veronica, somebody tell them.
I was going to say, maybe Rob can talk better about it, but we both did it. It's like this, it's a sack of like a meatball or something inside it, and it's really juicy. So you have to, and it's really hot, so you have to kind of bite it a little bit and suck the juice out of it. And Jenny, I was always like, you got to make loud noise. Like, that's what he was trying to get us to do every time. So it's pretty good. It's not even a Ukrainian thing. It's a Georgian, we're at a Georgian restaurant, so that's actually a Georgian food.
The top one is Soylenka, and that was my favorite. I actually made that here since I've been back. And, well, Brian really liked it. It's a soup with all sorts of different sausage and meats and capers and pickles and pickle juice and onions and garlic and lemon. It sounds strange, but it's good, isn't it, Brian? It was good. And then when we were at the girls' house, when we say the girls' house, the leadership for crew, the girls all live in the same house. So at the girls' house, they cooked for us for the first 2 days, And they made the blini. They also made borscht and other things. So we got homemade Ukrainian food.
And on the far right, the blini on the right, that has sour cream on it. And it's very normal for them to put sour cream on everything.
I think it's worth mentioning before we go to this slide that although it's not pictured on here, we talked about this last night in our meeting, that Zhenya thought it would be fun to take us out for American burgers. Except Zhenya cannot pronounce his R in the word burger, so he would always say, "We're going to take you out for some American boogers," which has a totally different, obviously, translation in English. So we would all burst out laughing every time he would say booger, because he meant a hamburger, and you know, obviously we knew that, but it was still funny.
Okay, so we stayed at the Dnipro Hotel. That's where we stayed, and then this is, oh, I didn't correct his name.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. I did once. Okay, so that's Zhenya's church. And I think we have a video of the worship service inside.
All those songs that we sang mostly were, we knew the American version of it, so we would try to be singing it in English. And I was sitting next to Zhenya, and he let me use his phone to, like, read the lyrics. And he also mentioned that some, I don't know what language that was in, they went back and forth between Russian and Ukrainian when they were singing the songs. So some songs are in Russian, and some of them were in Ukrainian.
These are two... Now, I say Ukraine Orthodox, some people say Russian, but they were very definite that they are no longer Russian Orthodox. They are Ukrainian Orthodox. They don't want any association with Russia. So that's the on the left is the church that we walked past often in the daytime and in the night. And on the left is a church that we went, it was a very cold day. And we went in there, I'm so glad we did. And when I was looking, I don't know why, but I was looking on Google Earth, and apparently this is a very prominent church in, definitely in Dnipro, this is the most famous Ukraine Orthodox church. So this is inside the church, and I just real slowly panned around so you could see. There's women in babushkas who are cleaning the candle stands because there are always candles that are burning. It's dead quiet in there.
I believe they're paying money to light a candle.
There's no pews because people come to worship and stand. It is an active church. The ladies that are cleaning are also wiping off the glass where people kiss the icons. Mm-hmm. So that's taking place as well. But there would be a service on Sundays. You can see her washing the. So all of those icons get kissed and prayers written down and stuck someplace. I'm not sure where they go. But it's very ornate and quite a liturgy that goes with it.
I was talking to one of the students, and while we were in there, and his name is Michael, and I was asking them, you know, he's Orthodox, how often he goes to church, and twice a year, Christmas and Easter, the service is in a dead Russian dialect that nobody understands, and it's not a problem not to have any place to sit down because they only stay for like 20 minutes. So as the priest is giving the liturgy, they light a candle, they stand there, and then they leave. So it's constantly people coming in and out. It's, I said, what do you do? Do you sit? He's like, well, I suppose you could, but we just stand. So very different.
So, I mean, the top picture is of the American team and the Ukrainian team, and we took that in the first day. The bottom left, the first 2 days we were there, we spent our time sharing our testimonies, and that's just going over that. And actually, with that said, I was the first one that had to share my testimony. And as I was sharing, I noticed two of the girls were talking in Russian kind of over me. I'm like, oh, that's kind of rude, but that was my first experience of them translating everything I was saying. So that's what was happening, is she was just translating. But I was just kind of confused because I'd never experienced that before.
And they were going from English to Ukrainian and Russian because one of the translators spoke better Ukrainian than Russian. So, and we never knew quite what anybody was, what language they were using necessarily.
Yeah. And, if you can go back real quick. I think there was, 8 Ukrainian full-time crew members, and I'd say 5 of them spoke English pretty well. 3 of them really didn't speak English at all. So when we were with them, everything was being translated. But when we were with our students spoke way better English than they did, actually. So at least in my class, we didn't have to use translators.
The bottom right-hand corner, we'll explain more when we get to the classes, but we were praying before we started teaching, that the limitations the university had put on us for teaching, that God would work around that and we'd still be able to communicate what he had for us. And so this is actually across the street from the university because we couldn't pray like this on university grounds.
And they always paired us with, usually it would be 1 American and 2 Ukrainians, so they'd be praying in Russian and we'd pray in English. And it was kind of a unique experience.
And just a reminder, we didn't know the restrictions on us about not being able to talk about God, Christ, in our English class until we arrived. So you guys really knew about it before we did.
This is Alfred Nobel University. This is the university that we taught at. And our hotel was, you can kind of see it in the background on the far left picture. I believe that's it.
No,
so okay, maybe it's one more. It was only like a block away, so it really wasn't that far, so it was really nice to be able to walk there. It was definitely the most pretty building around.
It's a good thing you and I roomed together.
It's true. That was the best part of
Ukraine. That way I can show you where the hotel was.
The globe that you see actually has pictures and names of Nobel Peace Prize winners on it. So that's what that goal is. So yes, this is Alfred Nobel of the Nobel Peace Prize.
It's a bump up from regular universities in the sense that it's associated with a university in Wales, United Kingdom, and as a very proud heritage recently, and being able to share English as well as a Western Europe degree. So when degrees are conferred from this university, it's related to the one from Wales. So there's a little bit higher status of graduates from this university. This is the first time campus or crew has actually been on the university campus. They do minister on different campuses, but their activities have to always be off campus, whereas this time the English Club was on campus, and we had a visit. The lady whose back is toward us in the blonde hair, or with blonde hair, was a pretty high administrator, in the university. She welcomed us. I was very surprised that all of us got into that meeting, not because there wasn't room in the room, but just the fact that she would want to meet us as an American team. And she wanted to have further relationship with crew, and hopefully the students have had a good feedback to the university about the English club, so they would be able to go back. We really tried to stay within their guidelines, and hopefully the relationship was good. We haven't heard anything further about that.
Well, I think my understanding of being in this meeting, she wanted us to come back, and she said, can we partner with you to do it again? I think they were kind of under the impression that we were all professional teachers, and we're like, no, we're only here because of crew, so if you want to work with us again, you're going to have to work with crew, or campus, as they call it.
They were very welcoming, and the students came not only from this university, but from a number of universities around the city. So a lot of the students didn't know each other before this and formed friendships, and with not only us, but with one another in the group. So it was a very special time to have this meeting. Alfred University had a person the first night give a spiel probably for 15 to 20 minutes about the benefits of the university. I think they were trying to do some recruiting or stealing, whichever the case may be.
So every day that we went to class, we started first in this room, and every day announcements were made. Every day someone from the university tried to sell the university, and we would play games too. So this is where we would always meet and then go to classrooms from here.
There was about 120 students total. I forgot how many they had. I think over 300 people had applied, but they had to narrow it down.
Okay. So I think this is the bottom picture of me right there. I was being interviewed by she's a volunteer for campus, but as we got back, the week we got back, I heard that she actually has now been accepted by crew to become a full-time missionary, and she will not probably be working in Dnipro, probably another part of Ukraine. They kind of don't know. But anyway, it's pretty cool because she got saved through the program and now is becoming a full-time missionary with it. And that I feel like that's actually pretty common. A lot of these student volunteers have the desire to become missionaries.
But what was she doing up there when she was talking to you?
I was selected to be interviewed in front of the whole group for a couple of minutes, and she was just asking me some questions. So,
were you kind of like a celebrity?
Nope.
Yeah, you were.
See, the Americans in general we kind of had a glimpse of what being a celebrity was like, because a lot of these students have never met an American before, so they kind of thought you were the coolest thing ever.
Let's just say
he's being humble.
He had a different level of celebrity than the rest of us had.
I have to say this, Andrea, you know, I don't know if you appreciated this or not, but I thought Rebecca and I thought it was funny. About 2 days into the week, you know, the reason they interviewed Andrew is because every young girl wanted to know about Andrew.
Every.
So Rebecca and I nicknamed him Adonis after the Greek mythology, you know.
Yeah, well, they nicknamed him Blockbuster because he was an American movie star, as far as they were concerned. That's what the girls called him. We had to do that, Andrew. I'm sorry.
Like I said, they have a sense of humor.
But I must say, Andrew was the most humble and just polite and conscious of his effect that he had. And I really admired how he worked with all these people that were giving him all this attention. You're pretty awesome.
Thank you. And it was hard to come back to America because it doesn't happen here. So I'll be going back.
The introduction each evening was kind of run like a radio show. There were two girls. This is Yana, and the other girl, it slips me her name. But they kind of played off of each other. They did the announcements and the interviews and, you know, the game. So it was a pretty neat time. And the room kind of hindered a little bit of what they liked to do, but it worked. And it's amazing, no matter what room you're in, stuff can work. In the upper right-hand corner, the girl to the right, her name is Nastia, which is short for Anastasia. She was in my class, and she and a friend came to visit with me in the coffee shop one afternoon. We each had opportunities to talk to students, and these two girls made an appointment to come and see me. I had a translator and somebody else with me at the same time, but the girls identified themselves as Orthodox Christians, and the further we talked, the thing that really touched Nastia's life was the fact that salvation is a grace gift rather than whatever they were doing in their Orthodox rituals. And her comment just before she left was that she really had some things to think about. I was really grateful to hear that, and hopefully that they would receive this grace gift of salvation. But so we'll go on. But pray for her.
Yeah, there are these games, and there was a lot of music and a lot of dancing. Mm-hmm. I would have shared some of my video, but it wasn't always complimentary. So,
in other words, we can't dance. Yeah.
No. Some of us can. You did a good job, but yeah, there's a lot of music, and it really got the kids worked up and excited to start the day. And in the bottom left are just some of the prizes that we brought, and they had a little, not a raffle, what was it?
It was a game contest.
Was that it? Okay.
Also, the university system's a little bit different over there. So these are college-age student, or they're college students, but they ranged in my class from 16 to 22. So a lot of them were a lot younger. So we were like working with our high school students, age-wise.
Okay, this is where Nikki and I, we were responsible for the beginner class. And you can see in the front row on the right, Dasha, she was our interpreter. She did a really great job. And then we have in the middle, what's his name again?
Jelson.
And he was one of the students, and he was one of our interpreters. He was really fun engaging with the students. And Arturo on the very left, expectant father to be in June coming up, I believe, shortly. We have, I think the one thing that surprised me, and I really didn't catch on, and probably until midweek when we were starting to have the one-on-one times, was the beginner class, the level of English understanding. So you had some of the students that knew English better were sort of dominating a little bit, and of course those that didn't were a little bit more quiet. But it was good to have in the afternoon. We met with students, and we did have this one-on-one time, and so we get to have, you know, they could ask us questions and get to know them better in that. One of my compliments in that was the one guy on the right, student Edward. He came up in the first night, he said, "Are you guys Christian?" So that, I thought, was, you know, that he could tell something was different, but then also he himself was a Christian. So, and that's why I thought that was great. some of the other students, too, from some of the emails, the one gal that they have met with now afterwards, you know, is in a cult. And so, you know, pray for some of these young students. I mean, that's probably our biggest thing, is developing these relationships that, for me personally, on from other mission trips, did not have the time to develop in that compared. But it was quite the experience. This is Nikki and I with the people that helped, and Rob or Andrew said, our staff really did not know English that well themselves, so we were really dependent, for Nikki and I, we were really dependent upon our interpreters in that. So.
I had the advanced intermediate group, which was level 4, and they were very conversant in English, so we got along very well. I think there were 5 fellows in the class, and I met with a few of them during the afternoons, as well as probably three or four or five girls as well. And the two young ladies at the sitting down are my helpers, and Mary on the left was a good shadow, and she did a lot of work with the small groups. Jenya was in my group as well, because I was the kind of the spare person. I didn't have a American teacher to work with, but they were some good kids. And some of the guys really had some good questions in the afternoons, and we got along very well. I don't know that any of them were born-again believers, so it was a good visit with them. I had a good time engaging with them.
So Hannah and I, we taught the intermediate class. I don't know what day this is. I don't think this is the first day. But do you have a pointer? Can you point out Constantine on there by any chance? Okay, so, nope, one over right there. So that's Constantine. We can also call him Costa. He was a really neat student. Every time that we had a tea break, and we had a tea break between each 45-minute segment, and with that, they actually drink tea, which is really weird, having all these young kids drinking tea rather than like soda that we'd have here. So it was kind of weird in of itself. But he saw that I was always busy talking to somebody. So every day he'd bring me tea, which is really, really awesome. And since getting back, him and I Skype, we've Skyped, I think, 3 times now. And I had a tutor time with him while I was there. And he came very prepared. He had 33 questions prepared, which is actually really nice, because sometimes we had tutor times and it was hard to come up with information to talk about. But he came prepared, and his questions were all very like spiritual. And like one question, oh, this isn't spiritual, but like they're all really deep. Like, you know, what's your favorite book, all the way to if you could go back into time and kill Hitler, would you? You can't say you can kill him because you're a Christian, right? So he had a lot of these kind of hard questions for me, but it was also a really neat opportunity. And he doesn't associate with any religion, but mostly with Buddhism. And he's very open to talk about religion. And actually today in Ukraine is Easter, is when they celebrate it today. And he went to church with one of the crew members today. So it's really neat opportunity, and we'll see what happens there. And yeah, this is just another picture of our class. And this we'd always set it up in this forum, and the students were always very engaging. I barely had to say anything. They just bounce off of each other. So that made it really, really easy and very helpful.
Well, this is the advanced class. This is Rob and I. You want to talk about Roman first?
Sure. Roman is the young man to my right in the front row. As Andrew spoke a little bit about Constantine, the first day of class, Roman wanted to know if I was a Christian, and he wanted to talk to me about it. And I thought that at first his demeanor was going to be maybe combative in trying to argue against Christianity. So he was later on in the week we had a tutor time together. He actually started out by apologizing to me that he was so forward in the classroom about it. And then we proceeded to have a really, really nice discussion. He does not practice any sort of faith, but admits he's still kind of searching and trying to find his way in life. But him and I, we enjoyed our tutor time. We set up actually an additional hour and a half time period on our own to spend together, and he's a very, very engaging man, very articulate, very smart. He's somebody that we can pray for too, just like Constantine with Andrew, that he would really just find the Lord in this and through this, and I think he would really, really make a powerful witness for the Lord if he ever came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Roman.
His name is Roman.
Roman. Somebody talk about Daniel, if you would. Daniel.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, there'll be, I think, a lot more pictures with him, too. But Daniel was, I think he's 18. He's a student volunteer. And every night he'd be our tour guide. He would be our translator. So he was with us all the time, which is really awesome. He's one of those students that wants to become a missionary, actually. He's studying in the medical field, and he wants to be a nurse, and then move to Africa. And I talked to him actually every day. We've texted every day since getting back, and we Skyped a few times, and he's helping me with my Russian.
I want to point out Nastia, if we could go back. Can you see Nastia, Paul? Yeah, that's Nastia. You want me to talk about Nastia right now or later?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Nastia. Okay, guys, I got to stand up. Nastia has had contact with crew for about 6 months before this point. Nastia came with many questions. First, before I even talk, you guys have to understand, we're talking about these kids like this is just a class. These kids are amazing. The level of maturity, the level of intellectual development, their desire to be around us, we were celebrities just because we were born here. So when we would take breaks, these kids would swarm around every single one of us, I would say, in every class, right? And you're just like, personal space, right? but they have no personal space there. It's different. And they all want, they hang on everything you say. The opportunity that this gave us is an opportunity we would never have here. We would never have in a Western European country. The opportunity, just because we're American, they believe that what we had to say had worth. And I'm like, I'm nobody, okay? You try and explain to them that you're just a regular person, we're Americans, therefore we know things, and I still have a hard time wrapping my brain around this. So I want you to have that in mind in every class, whether it's beginner or advanced. You guys supporting us there with prayers, monies, whatever, this money was so well spent. This time was so well spent. I'm excited just thinking of I'm going back. I know why Andrew's going back, but I'm going back. So... It was just amazing. Rob and I talking with these kids, it was just an open door that we didn't understand that we were going to have, okay? So Nastia had been with crew for a little while, and she had had some exposure to the word and that. Because they think Christians, you are a cult. Automatically, talk about Jesus, you're a member of a cult. Anything that's not Russian Orthodox is a cult. Baptist Church is established over there. They're a cult, okay? So she had already had that broken down a little bit because she had had contact with other Christians and realized that they were just normal people. So Nastia was one of those that came to me, talked to me. We had tutor times, which we'll tell you about in just a minute. But that Russian Orthodox church, that big yellow church, okay, she was with us on that walk. And she'd been really emotional the whole time, just quick to cry. And so we're in this church. It's this really reverent place, and you're all very quiet. And Nikki starts to cry, which Nastia saw this, and she was really bothered by it. She was very moved by it, and she was disturbed that Nikki was crying, like, what's wrong with her? So as we're leaving the church, we're walking out, and she comes next to me, and she goes, what's wrong with Nikki? Why is she crying? Door opened, right? Because Nikki told me why she was crying. She was crying, her heart was breaking because there were all these people in this church that didn't have a clue about how to have a relationship with Christ. I'm sorry, don't cry. She's going to cry again. And it was just breaking her heart, the ignorance that they were walking in. And so this is what I told Nastia, and then she starts to cry, like we're starting to cry. And we're walking, and finally, it becomes very apparent to me that she's ready to accept Christ. And I ask her, she said, yes, what do I need to do? And well, you need to pray, and I'm kind of laying it out, but I'm afraid I'm going to say it in too complicated terms. So I grab Paul, and I bring him over, and I says, we need to pray with this girl. And right there and then she accepts Christ, and that was such a blessing to me. Nikki's emotions, which she felt was getting the best of her on this trip a little bit, moved her that last step to accept Christ. And, of course, then the waterworks really started. But we'll bring you updates on Nastia in a little while. But these kids are amazing. And these seeds that we planted grow. And I was by no means the one that brought her to Christ. I was just there to witness it at the end. So I don't know. What else? Is there anything else you want to share about the class?
This girl right here.
Well, I think just with Nastia, I think part of this, too, is we'll explain the tutor times in a few minutes, but Rebecca and I had a tutor time together with Nastia. She was our first tutor time student of the week, and we had an opportunity to share how Christ has worked in our lives, and Nastia was asking direct questions as to how we were impacted, you know, by Christ and by our faith. So, I mean, I think it even started a little bit there, and things just kind of progressed throughout the week with her.
Like questions like, why are we here? What is the meaning of life? Just huge questions. Kind of our style.
Yeah, this is just us being goofy.
Now repeat after us. Yumi Druzi.
Shira Batai Ubas.
Yumi Druzi. Shira Batai Ubas.
What we have to explain is they were laughing at us. This was a video that they had every class make, and this is the only one I had access to put it up here. They wanted us to pretend to teach them Russian, and then they were laughing at our accents because they were so bad. They thought it was very funny.
Yeah, and it took us like 12 tries to try to get the pronunciation right, so they were teaching us there. We have no idea. They wouldn't tell us. All they said it was nothing bad.
So this is just all the students. This was the last day of class, and we all got together outside of the university. And as you can see, it says April, but it was really March.
I think I'd like to speak on this a little bit in terms of the relationships, and I think we could all say this with, you know, with an equal amount of sincerity. Each one of us in our class had a member or two of the crew ministry team to act as like a liaison between us and the students, a translation, whatever. And then we also had a couple of student representatives, and that's Mary and Daniel on the left. But I think that working with your team each week, or I'm sorry, each day, you really got to know these people, you know, on a personal level, your students and your crew members, and as well as the students in your class. So the relationship heading here was really is a good word to use, because you really bonded very, very quickly with your students, the crew members. And it's, you know, I mean, I feel like I've made these lasting friendships, you know, that will go beyond just this missions trip. But I think each team can probably have their own individual stories of relationally things that happened. But I think it was a very, very unique experience for all of us in that regard.
Just going back to Daniel and Marsha on the left, these kids went above and beyond because, as mentioned earlier, they were with us after class, and I know Daniel had at least half an hour bus ride just to get home, and I think that one morning we asked him to come show us, I don't know, a walk in the morning. He said, well, how about 8 o'clock? And he just gave us this look like, what are you talking about? So we backed it up to 9 o'clock. But that goes back to just going above and beyond because these guys are going to school on top of this, and then doing this at nighttime and taking us out for the walks and whatnot. So they were really two awesome, awesome kids.
This is a picture of Zhenya and Alex in the top left. Obviously, crew team members. If you want to know another story about Rebecca trying to set up her daughter with Alex, you can ask her about that. And then Rebecca and I with Tanya. Tanya, I believe, was... did she put all the lessons together or was very instrumental in
yeah,
that?
Yeah, she did.
She's a really, really... a sweet young gal, and just a very, very humble, quiet demeanor about her.
I when I say amazing leadership, I mean, there was more than just these three, but these three struck me tireless. Coffee was how they were surviving. The level of spiritual maturity is humbling. The level of dedication is amazing. These guys just blew us away. Their patience with us and their love for the students, and humbling.
So this is some of the tour times. We actually met, at least I did, some people met elsewhere. We met in a KFC, and when we were told that we're going to be meeting in a KFC, we weren't sure if that meant the same thing as what KFC meant here, because they couldn't seem to really answer that question. Turns out, yeah, it is Kentucky Fried Chicken. So these two on the left were times that Hannah and I met. The bottom left one is the first time that we had our tutor time. Sometimes it was Hannah and I would pair up with two people, one person, depending on how many people signed up. Sometimes we'd each take one on our own. But the bottom left was our first experience of it. And the girl on the right there in the bottom left picture, her name's Corinna, I believe. Actually, let me back up real quick. During our first lesson, we're talking about love. And one of the quotes that we showed was from Brad Pitt's definition of love. And during this tutor time, we found out that her gerbil or hamster's name is Brad Pitt. So it was kind of funny. I'm like, why didn't you tell that in class? That would have been good. So yeah, it was just kind of funny, the things that you find out. And it was just super fun. They were super fun girls. Get to know the girls at the top. I know for those two for sure have never met Americans before, so they told us that was super cool for them. The girl at the top that's not smiling, Rob was saying that's a very typical expression of someone's, they don't smile in pictures often, even though I see a lot of smiles here, but it's kind of like your typical stereotypical image of what they might look like. And she was the only, as far as I know, she was the only believer in our class.
So the tutor times were outside of class time. These were a few hours before class.
So we could talk about God as much as we wanted to. I mean, that was the whole point.
Yeah, we weren't necessarily allowed on university time, but.
And even though, like, Rob and I taught a class together, all of our tutor times. There's so many tutor times you can have because they're 45 minutes each. Rob and I never, well, that first day we had one together, but we were separated. And it just happened that he had all guys and I had all girls, which was good. But I guess it was their time, and they were given the opportunity to ask us anything they wanted to. And then the challenge for us was trying to find the road to Christ. And sometimes it was a really convoluted road, and sometimes it was pretty straight. Sometimes when you started mentioning the word church, they would change the subject. So some of them were productive, some of them not so much. But no matter what, we were planting seeds. No matter what, we were trying to get to the point. And it was pretty interesting. And then when we were in there, even though, like, Rob and I students were advanced, so their language was pretty high level. We didn't need a interpreter. A member of the team would be there for us, and they also got to see where each student was spiritually, because when they did follow-ups after this was done, they could then know where to begin.
Majority of the tutor time was in the afternoon, where our class started at 5, usually went from 5 to 8 o'clock at night.
I don't know if you want to go back one. Yeah, so the top left on there was Sergey. He was in my class. I think so. Monday was the first time that we met our students, and Tuesday we're going out for breakfast, and we happened to run into him on the tram, which is pretty cool because the city, the population is 1 million people, so it's a big city. So to run into him was pretty cool, and he kind of noticed me and came up to me to let me know that he had a tutor time with me that day. That's not when that picture was taken. This picture was actually taken on Saturday morning, the day before we left to come home. We had a excursion where we'd walk around the city with any of the students from our class that wanted to join, and he came with, so that was kind of cool.
The young man with Pastor Paul, is his name is Dima. Dima was an interpreter for us during tutor time, and he was a young man who came to know Christ during campus years earlier.
I think I mentioned that the population was 100,000, but yeah, you're right, it's 1 million. That was 100,000 university students in the city.
These are just, yeah, upper left is more tutor time. Tanya was the staff member that was always with me taking notes, and that is, what's her name, Rob?
Alex.
Alex. Rob knows all the students' names. I remember a few.
Everybody's name is either Alex, Tasha,
Nastia,
Tanya.
Yeah, very, yeah.
Yeah, there's only like 5 names.
Okay, so we need to talk about Nikki. You want to tell why you look like that?
Well, they were calling up volunteers. I got volunteered, and I didn't know my mouth would be full of candy during this, and we're playing a game.
Yeah, it was like that, you know, the game Chubby Bunny, where you shove your mouth full of marshmallows and then you try and talk. These were like big gummy thingies.
Yep, big gummies. I fit the most in my mouth, about 13 of them, and then I had to try to say idioms like
doggy bag.
Doggy. Oh yes, my favorite.
She hates the word doggy bag.
And of course, that was the idiom that they gave me. So, yeah. And then Laura's behind me trying to understand what I'm saying. And yeah, this was all entertaining for everybody out there.
And then another game at the American party. Like Andrew and I took turns being blindfolded, and then we had to guess what was in our mouth because it was a game we played in class. Two kind of, but anyway, what was I feeding you?
She gave me a marshmallow, and she had to describe what it. Well, no, you gave it to me. I had to describe what it. I don't remember how it went.
You had to describe what it was.
I had to describe what it was, and you had to guess what it was.
Well,
I don't know. Why are you putting it in my mouth? I don't know. But
oh no, I was pulling down the blindfold so you couldn't see because I didn't trust you.
That's what it was. So I got blindfolded. They stuck a marshmallow in my mouth, and I had to describe it to you, and right. You had to guess what it was based off of my description.
Yeah. Anyway, Paul, what were you saying that as far as the attendance at the American party?
We had 120 students in class. We had 130 or more at the party, and we were missing a number of students. So a number of the students had invited friends, which they were able to do or encouraged to do. So we wound up with more people at the party than we actually taught. So we're hoping that they will engage with campus ministry also.
Just real quickly, because one of the students had explained this to me, the American party was kind of important on a number of levels, one of which was the students received a certificate that they completed the English class. And one of the students that Rebecca and I had in our advanced class was saying that by completing this and getting a certificate, if you qualify for a certain level of English proficiency, that you can go on to universities in other parts of Europe. And without that level of proficiency, you cannot. So it is somewhat important to them to get that.
Oh, you have a video.
Don't believe everything you see.
Hold on. It's coming. coming. Just hold on. Hold on, there's more. I couldn't keep the camera on him because I was afraid he'd be too embarrassed, so I had to like pan it around.
Queen doesn't have any trumpets.
You need singing too, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what your pastor does when he's not in church.
And
this
and here's the appropriate way to play air guitar. So Angie always tells me I look like a dork when I do this. So now you can all see how dorky I look when I do this.
You're so good, Rob.
He is good. You could almost hear it.
Skill.
Yeah, this goes on for like 10 minutes.
He got tired.
We won the game, though.
You did.
Yeah, it was a game.
Oh, in here, I swear, Rob's making up stories by this point. Down in the lower right, their enthusiasm for Americans did not wane. They had to pull us out of this party. Mm-hmm. They would have stayed as long as we were there. They wanted to hear every story Rob made up. Every bit of wisdom they could suck out of us. And so, yeah, it just kept going and going and going.
Oh, if you can go back one quick. So on my right is Constantine again. And I forgot to say something earlier. Since coming home and Skyping with him, he's told me that, because we worked with him for 15 hours, 3 hours every day, he said that he can now watch American movies without subtitles. So it was really cool that our English teaching made a difference. So we made a spiritual difference, I think, but we also helped with their English. And then the girl in the white there, her name is Diana, and she was one of those students that wasn't from my class. She just showed up to meet us. And that was like the first time that I honestly felt like I was being interviewed by a reporter. She just like stuck a microphone in my face, not literally, but that's what it felt like. It was just bombing off questions, so it was really interesting experience.
Most of these people have not met Americans before, so they would come just to meet you. It was odd.
Again, getting back to the relational aspect as well on this night, because this is our final night basically with the students, and I'm sure the other groups can say the same thing, but you know, Rebecca and I really formed a bond with each one of our students, and we were the last class to have our certificates awarded because we were the advanced class. And, I mean, we had every single student from the class mm-hmm. giving us big hugs. And, you know, one of the quietest guys I had in the class that I had an opportunity to have a tutor time with and just kind of hopefully impact in a positive manner, he was the last one announced, and he was so shy. During the course of the week, he literally ran down the aisle from the back of the room.
Which guy was this?
Vlad.
Oh, Vlad.
Just a side note, too, they were saying, campus was saying, of the 120 students, the attendance was well, almost every night everybody came. I think there was one person that ended up in the hospital, and the second person, I forgot what happened, wasn't feeling well or something. So the consistency in the attendance was just superb.
Students gave us these at American Party.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you want to hit the other one, we're a little bit over time, but I want to at least have Rebecca read this story about Nastia and the follow.
I don't have it in my hand because I don't have reception, internet reception here.
Yeah, I thought I did.
No, that's not it. Oh, I need my other glasses.
Rebecca wore two sets of glasses on her head every night of class.
I need them.
Well, I had it and I didn't.
Okay, well, I can tell you. So since, like I say, Nastia, I don't need these now. Nastia was saved. And this is Lyra. She's a member of the leadership team. And so since we've left, she has been paired with Lyra, and Lyra's like mentoring her. And she's been to church, and she's been to crew activities. There's Tanya and Daniel and Lyra. And so she wasn't just saved and walked away. She is showing a big interest in spiritual things, and she is exploring her faith. So we're very happy with the follow-up that they're giving the students.
Just very quickly, we went through these on the left, five themes for the teaching time, and then during the time to talk, which was another 45-minute segment after that, after the tea break, those were the basic topics. During our Sunday school hour, we're going to show you two videos that we used, and then you can have an opportunity to ask some questions. We summarized it through the relationships, who am I, what's real love, about the source of truth, how do we know anything for sure, about the shortness of life, why am I here, what's my purpose, and mistakes and failures, why is there evil, how do I live, and then losses and gains, we talked about sacrifice, and true gifts and grace really comes at somebody else's expense, and how do I respond. And we are way over time. Thanks for your indulgence. I hope you are blessed as we were. There's a sign-up sheet, kind of figuratively, for the next trip, maybe next March. But talk to any one of us. We'd be glad to chat with you. Maybe we should just... Okay, do that. Okay. Yeah.